And it's just, I can't think, it's a privilege and an honor just to be able to stand here tonight. Not only is that, an honor to be able to say that He is my Lord and He is my King. But tonight, you know, I want to speak on a subject that maybe, I don't know if you've ever heard it this way, but I want to speak over there in the book of Revelation chapter 19. And I'm going to read down through 1 through 19, time permitting, and I think it does. But I just want us to see some things here and see some things that where we as individuals can be able to look at. And it's not, I don't think it's a question that where we don't come up with that God doesn't have the answer for. And it's right here in the Word of God. We're starting in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 1. It says, "And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation, and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are His judgment. For He hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of His servant at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia. And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God, that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all His servants, and ye that fear Him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as a voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clothed clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And He saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And He saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at His feet to worship Him. And He said unto him, See, thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doeth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the army which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw the angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat of flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sat on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast, and the king of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse, and against his army. Now, Father, we want to thank you for the reading of thy word. Now, Lord, we just ask tonight, Father, that you will just take and set me aside. And Father, what you have allowed me to read, and Father, whatever you want tonight, Father, I pray, Lord Jesus, you will touch these lips from on high. And God, you'll anoint me afresh and new tonight, that I may preach the word. And Father, that I may preach it in a way, Father, that no one has ever heard it that way. And Father, especially me, I know I've never heard it this way as you have given it to me. Now, Father, we pray, God, tonight that you'll help us, that we may have open ears to hear the word of God. And Father, we'll have open hearts that it may be applied to our life. And Father, as we leave the services tonight, that we can leave in a different way than we ever come in. Father, that we can get excited about you. And Lord, we just want to thank you for what you're going to do tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen and amen. We'll see right here where it was talking about the white horses. We'll see where there was talking about the armies and the beast and the sharp swords and different things right here, and the rod of iron. And we'll also see right here where it's speaking of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But I want to look back at one verse of Scripture. And it's over in verse 7. And it says, let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. I want to look at that last phrase there. And his wife hath made herself ready. That right there is speaking of the bride of Christ. That is speaking of the Christian. That is speaking of the one that has met the Lord Jesus Christ and accepted him as their Lord and Savior. But a wife that has been made ready. Ready for what? Ready for the coming of the Lord. Here we see where, and I got down here, the title of the message that I've got is the kind of wife Christ wants his wife to be. What I'm saying there is what God wants in our lives, and the type of Christian, the type of servant that God wants. The kind of wife Christ wants his wife to be. We need to be glad, and we can rejoice in knowing that he has come to us. We didn't go to him. I did not go to him. You didn't go to him. But he came to where we was at. And he accepted us as we come and ask him to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But we can rejoice in the fact that we can honor him, and we don't have to worry about if we honor this one or that one or none, but we are honoring one true and living God. He is the omnipotent God. He is the one that has all power. He is all powerful. He can move the mountains that is in front of us. He can move all the obstacles that we may face. And no doubt, down to time, each one of us here tonight have faced some kind of obstacle that we didn't see how in the world that we could get past that obstacle that was standing in the way of us serving the Lord. And I wouldn't have said that if I didn't believe in what I just said. Because you are here tonight. You are not just one to come on Sunday morning and then just wait a week or two and then come back. But you're here on Sunday morning. You're here on Sunday night. And you're here on Wednesday night. Now I know it's a couple of you is not back on Wednesday night. But it's not because you don't want to be. It's because you're providentially hindered. Why? Because of your job. But see, God knows the intent of the heart. God knows exactly where we want to be for him. He knows exactly what we want to do for him. And he knows that this church, and he knows the people in this church want to see this church grow. They don't want to see it stagnated. They don't want to see it at the point that where people can't come in and seek refuge. But this right here is an emergency room or for the people that are hurting and discouraged. Yes, there are people all around us today that is discouraged, and they are one close from taking their life because they are that discouraged that we come in contact with people. But here in John chapter 21 and verse 15, so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest me more than these? Do we love the world more than we love God? No. I do not love the world like I used to. I know I'm in the world, and I'm right there within where the people are, but I'm not of the world. I am in the world, but I'm not of the world. I'm in the world trying to win them to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is our purpose. That is our duty. But we have some individuals out here say, and I've had some preachers say, well, you can't go out here in the world and you can't go down there, and because if you do, it's going to ruin your testimony. If you go over there, if you go and eat there, it's going to ruin your testimony. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, that's where he was at. That's where he went. He didn't stay right there in the synagogue where the religious people was. He went out where they was at, where there was down and out. That's where he was. Why? Because, see, they are the only ones that he could help. Yes, we can go in and we can go into a church where we have a bunch of religious people there. But we can't help them. You want to tell you the reason why we can't help? Because they've got it set in their mind that they know everything that they need to know about God's word. And we cannot reach them that way because they think that they're better than we are. They think that they're living a good life. They may be living a good life. They may be living a life outstanding. But they can still die and go to hell. But people don't realize, people don't think about that. But we must teach people, yes, there is a hell out here. And there's a worm that's mentioned here in the book of Revelation and all through the Bible. It speaks about where the worm dieth not. Hey, the worm is not going to die. Why? Because the worm is going to irritate the Christian. The lost sinner that's in hell is going to irritate them. Why? Because what does the worm represent? The worm represents, I believe and I think,
This is me, and don't go out here and say, well, preacher said the worm represents this or that.
No.
But what I think it represents, I think it represents a place and a desire to bring back what the individuals have heard. Yes, they've heard the gospel. They've heard every amazing grace song that they've ever heard. They've heard everything I hear. And they're going to be reminded with that.
Last week we went down there to see an individual down at Duke Hospital. It had brain surgery. Well, matter of fact, it's had two brain surgeries in the last 3.5 weeks. The first brain surgery, he had a mass on his brain, and they said they got it all.
But then he got to the point, he was getting confused, and he couldn't get his balance and that, all that equilibrium and all of that back and everything. So they had to go back in and do more surgery. Well, when he went back in that time, they found something else. They found something else that led down to his lung. And they followed that. And he was eat up with cancer in his lung. 3.5 weeks ago. But he still loved God. Still loved God. God told, the doctors down there told him he had 2 weeks to live. But he get things in order. He said, I've already had things in order. He said, I don't have to get everything in order. He said, my wife and my children, they get everything I've got in hand. But I made preparation long time ago. And I'm not worried. One bit. Because I know where I'm going. He told Brother James that the other day when Brother James talked to him. He said, Brother James, he says, I've already made arrangements. Preparation has already been made. And you hold my few lines and things together, people. Nothing to have, but he can tell you. He says, because all sympathy, absent from the body, is the presence of God.
And he said, he knows just as soon as he takes his last prayer,
he's going to feel like that with the Savior.
And that's a comfort in knowing. And James told me, he said, that's the type of funeral I don't mind preaching. He said, because I know I can get in there and preach about salvation. And you must be born again. If you want to see your father, you want to see your granddaddy, or your brother, your uncle, your husband, you must be born again if you ever want to see them again. But we must be the type of individual that loves the Lord Jesus Christ at all costs. Not just love Him today because we feel like He's answered our prayer and He's allowed us to have a little more money in our back pocket, and He's allowed us to have a job this week or something. But yet when we get to the point that when things get so low and money gets a little low, and then it gets to the point that they start cutting back at work and saying, well, still you're getting 5 days this week. We're not going to give, but we might get 3. But end up getting 2.5, and then we're going to be all down. No, that's when we need to really get up. We need to really get up and say, Lord, just thank you for the other days that I've had. Thank you for the other days that I've had money in my back pocket. Thank you for the other days that I had a job to go to that I could work and I could make a living. But God, I'm going to trust you. I could tell you some things about my life. But I put my trust in God.
I lost my job back in
93.
I'd always worked in a automotive type business. In the parts business, and then I went to work in one of the dealerships here in town. In a service department, service managing, assistant service manager. Then all of a sudden, one day, I don't know what happened to the owner of the company, but his health was failing, and we knew that. But we really didn't know how bad it was failing. And then he would start calling people to his office at 5:30 in the afternoon. And as he called them to the office, around 5:30 in the afternoon, he'd get them over there. And then they would come back over from where that apartment was in the parts department. They would come over and they would gather everything that they had done at work that was there. And they would gather them together, all of them putting in their boxes. And people was wondering what was going on. They said, well, he just fired. Well, they said, well, why? He said, I don't have no idea. Only thing he told me was he went home at lunchtime and he sat down to eat his lunch and everything. Went over and laid down for a few minutes like he always does. He got back up and would come back to work and got to pray. And he said God would be unto him to come back and fire. He done that for about a month every week. Then he quit that for a while. Then he called me back that one afternoon on a Sunday. Said the same thing to me. He said, I went home and I ate lunch. I laid down for a little while before I got up to come back to work. I always say my afternoon prayers and pray and I read the scripture a little bit. But God will be on the day to come back and fire you this evening. I said, he did. He said, yeah, well, that's okay with me. When I walked in the house that afternoon, more likely, something was wrong. I was just as happy as ever. I didn't do nothing. I mean, God was going to take him. I didn't have a problem with that. And 3 weeks later, I went down to my bank. Well, I was going to talk to one of the presidents down there to see if I could keep my stuff in order. We have to maybe kind of blow my papers or some stuff. As soon as I walked in the front door, did he come? I ain't coming back in the back of the president of the bank. He come walking up through there like he always does, like he owns everything that he's around. He come on up there. He didn't know what I was going to do. He come on walking up there. He come on walking away out there, and I just kept walking over him. And I was so sure I could see the long man. The long man just right there, and that way I could speak to him. But I just kept walking. I just kept walking. I tried to do it today. I stole the thing. He said, what? I said, I'm going to have to find him. Since I've been fired, I've had more opportunity to witness for people, and I've led more people to the Lord. And I said, God, will make me. I didn't have no animosity towards him. I just didn't understand why he'd done it. But that was between him and God. He said, God, that's what God told him. If that's what God told him, then that's what he should have done. But I don't believe that God told him that. I just don't believe it. I don't believe God works that way. I mean, I know God works in ways that we don't understand, but I just don't believe God wants somebody to take somebody else's livelihood away from them. I just don't believe that. But God was with me. He was with me. God opened more doors for me than I ever have
ever had before. And I thank God for every one of them. It wasn't nothing I done. Because if it was up to me, I'd tell you exactly where I'd be at. If it was up to me, I'd be at church and I'd be sitting on a pew listening to somebody else speak. God save me. And I don't know whether you've told anybody about this. I know I think I've mentioned to Brother Bill, but I'm not an individual. After I got saved, I'm not an individual that can come in and just sit on the pew and do nothing. I got to be doing something. He saved my soul, and I thank the Lord for the ones that He's allowed me to be around where He saved us all. It's nothing what I've done, but I'm thankful that it was all of Him. We must also be loyal to Him. Just like a wife is supposed to be loyal to a husband, and just like a husband is supposed to be loyal to his wife. I don't have no problem with the Lord Jesus Christ being loyal to me and not letting me down. When I have the problem with myself. And my prayer is that I can stay loyal to Him. But if I don't watch it, the world's going to get me down. The world's going to get me down. And you know what else gets a preacher down more than anything? It's coming into God's house and seeing pews that are empty. And especially when a church starts growing, and then you see people come in, and then after they get to the point that they just come when they want to. You know, that hurts. My pastor, Brother James Albert, it literally makes him just about sick. To where he can go out there on Monday morning, he can see the members of the church out there on Monday morning sitting around eating breakfast or going to Walmart or here or there and everything else, or going to work and doing this and that, but yet they won't come out on Sunday morning and Sunday night, Wednesday night. I believe this. I believe if an individual is a member of the local body, of the local church, then I believe that member needs to be faithful to that church at all times. Because when they come up, just like when me and my wife, when we went over to the community, and when we went forward, and when we joined the church, I didn't say nothing to James about I was going to be faithful. I didn't have to. He knew I would be. But see, that's what I was promising him. I was promising him by allowing me to come in and join that body and to be a membership there. I was promising him that I was going to back him, that I was going to be faithful to the services. And not only that, I just didn't make a promise to him, but I made a promise to God. Look at all the promises that Jacob made to God. All the promises that he made to God. And all the vows that he made. But yet, then he turned around and he broke every one of the vows he had made. But eventually come back to God. Hey, you're not going to go astray too far before God's going to get a hold to the individual and get them back to the house of God. We need to be loyal to Him. And why do we need to be loyal to Him? You know, now, Don't get me wrong, I know some people, they look at this maybe in a different way than I do. But you, let me tell you what, but I believe that right here, the assembly that's right here, it's a non-profit organization. It's a place to where we can come in and we can give what we can to the Lord to further the ministry on. But it's also God's business. And we need to treat it that way. As God's business. We don't need to come in here and start abusing it. We don't need to start coming here and start wasting God's money. We need to allow God to lead us in the way that He wants us to do things, to be stewards over. People don't look at it that way. See, God instituted the church. God is number one. The church is number two. That's the way God has instituted everything. God instituted Himself to be number one. He has got to be the number one authority in our life. And then the house of God is number two. He instituted the church first, second. And then He instituted the other thing. He instituted the church programs and different things. But we don't need to get in front of ourselves and ahead of ourselves. Now, I'm not one of these type preachers. If a family member or somebody in the family, if the child gets sick and something like that, and the mother, the father, both of them have to stay out with that child that Sunday, hey, God ordained the family. God ordained the family. And with God ordaining that family, we have to look after them. And we have to pray for them and lift them up to God. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 28 says, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may be present, every man perfect in Christ Jesus. The word perfect there means that we must mature in the Lord. The word perfect in God's word does not mean that we're going to be perfect. We cannot be perfect as long as we have the flesh that's hanging on us, as long as we live in this earthly tabernacle. We can never be perfect. But one of these days we will have the glorified body. And once we receive that glorified body, then we're going to be just like Him. And He is perfect. There's none other like unto Jesus. Yes, they've tried. They've tried to come up, and they've tried their very best to come up with somebody like Jesus. Never will happen. Just like I said about the cross. The cross and the way He died will never be duplicated. Never be duplicated again. If the wife is worth the salt that goes in her bread, she will be interested in her husband's business and work. Other words, what he's saying right here is, if we are interested in the things that we know that is right, and stay true to God, we're going to be interested in what He wants us to do. We must be interested in what He wants us to do.
These individuals out here that think that they can go out here and they can just come to church on Sunday morning and they can get up and some of these preachers can get up there and preach and then You never see them at the hospital visiting. You never see them going out here and visiting nobody in the community and everything. And they wonder why. And they wonder why the church don't grow. They wonder why they don't have souls saved. Hey, yes, I've been called of God to preach. But I'm also not just a preacher called by God, but I'm also, first of all, a Christian. And what does a Christian do? A Christian must be about the Father's business. And going out into the highways and the hedges and being a witness to the people. That's my first obligation. That is my first duty unto Him as being a Christian. Is serving Him in the fashion and what He wants me to go out here and do. Who He wants me to go out here and visit. And I know if y'all have heard the statement where people say, well, if I won't do it, I'm not going to ask somebody else to do it for me. Well, why should I ask you to go out and visit? Why should I ask you to pray for the church? Why should I ask you to do this and that if I won't do it? We need to all be doing the same thing collectively. It's like I once said about the carpet. We as individuals need woven together so tightly. Then what you think is of God, then I'll agree. We must come together and agree on what He wants us to do. And if we come together in agreement, then there's no man, there's no church, there's no Satan that will stop. Why? But it says over in Matthew chapter 7, I believe it's verse 11, somewhere down there. It says, ask, seek, and knock. Take a letter out of each one of them words, the first letter, what do you got?
Ask.
You got to ask. You got to ask Him what He wants you to do. We must get up on, I try my very best every morning I get up. What would you have me to do today? Make me a blessing to someone today. I want to be a blessing to people. And I want to show myself friendly. That's the only way we're going to ever be able to get people to come back to the house of God is to show ourselves friendly. And show people that we care. That we care and we love them. Because see, if they're lost, they don't know nobody. Just like I told y'all, when I was lost, and when I got saved, I didn't know anything about the virgin birth. Didn't know anything about the cross. Didn't know anything about the blood. Didn't know anything about the book of life. I didn't know anything about none of that. It's in the process. He would lay His life down for me. There ain't one word I can come up with. That's L-O-V-E. His love. His love. And the last one, I believe that we need to try our very best to be like Him. I know that we can't here in this body and as in this flesh. I know we can't. But it says we're supposed to strive.
We're supposed to strive for perfection. Our mind and his mind needs to be together.
It says over here in I'm going to close with these verses that if I can find it. 1 Peter chapter 4. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no more should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. We must strive to have the same type of mind that he has. How can we do that? Stay in God's Word. Read God's Word. This is the living Bible. It lives. It lives every day. Something new that we can get out of it every day. I can get something new out of it every day. And it surprises me what I can get out of it. And when I read it and it surprises me to that point, I'll say to myself, Donna, how ignorant can you be? We don't know this book like we should. We really don't. I wished I did. But the only thing I can do is just learn and speak on what he gives me. And then when something else that wants to come that he thinks that I need to where I can face today's problem or the situations that are about to rise. Like in John chapter 14 and verse 26, the latter part of that, he says that the Holy Ghost will bring it back to my remembrance. What are you saying? He'll bring it back to what I've read. I've read it before. But right now I can't call upon it. I can't tell you the scripture. Can't tell you where it's at, but I've read it. You see, tomorrow I may need it. And when I need it tomorrow, he will open it up to me. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for another opportunity. Lord Jesus, of where we can be back in thy house. And Lord, we thank you, Father, where you have chosen me. And you've chosen these people to be thy wife. To be the bride that one day that's going to that bridal party in heaven. And Father, we thank you for this Easter day. We know, Lord, that this was just a day that where the United States is set aside, that where we can go back and we can remember in what the scripture has told us that yes, you came. You hung between heaven and earth and in between two thieves. And you was put into a barred grave. And then they took you down from the cross, and in that grave they laid you. And then on the third day, you conquered death, hell, and the grave. For me
and for the whosoever will. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, me. He's good.
If you mentioned anything else about your revival, like a date,
he made from Sunday night.